Welcome to the Nightly Five podcast with Ben O'Shea.
On today's show, the alleged perpetrator of a brutal home invasion was one of the detainees infamously released from immigration detention last year. Plus, Albo has been called a liar by the organisers of an anti-DV rally. A new inquest into one of Sydney's most enduring murder mysteries has kicked off today. I'll have more on the Revelle Balmain mystery. And Crown Resorts is shedding jobs. Lots of them. Then I'll leave you today with some bombshell retirements in the AFL and NRL. In our top story today, a shock development in a horrifying home invasion.
Three males attended the premises pretending to be police officers. Believing they were police officers, the male occupant allowed them inside. Once inside, the 76-year-old male was bound and his 73-year-old wife was assaulted.
One of the trio accused of the brutal bashing of a pensioner in her own home in Western Australia is among dozens of detainees that were released from immigration detention last year after a landmark High Court ruling. Majid Jamshidi Dukoshkin was one of 149 people released from immigration detention after the ruling left the Albanese government scrambling to bring in emergency laws to keep an eye on them. But he allegedly breached some of those conditions and was hauled before a Perth court in February this year. Today, he was before the court again, this time charged over a shocking home invasion in the Perth suburb of Girraween that resulted in Nanette and Philip Simons being attacked. The 43-year-old kept his head down for the duration of the hearing today. He only spoke to confirm his name and that he understood the five charges brought against him. He did not apply for bail and was remanded into custody to face court on June 10. Mr. and Mrs. Simons were both at their Allenson Drive home on April 16 when it's alleged that three people arrived pretending to be police officers. When Mr. Simons, who's 76 years old, opened the door of his home, he was immediately pushed to the ground and had his hands bound behind his back. Mrs. Simons, who's 73, was allegedly held to the ground and punched in the face several times, causing her to lose consciousness. It will be further alleged that the offenders stole more than $200,000 worth of jewellery and other items before fleeing on foot. Detectives and officers from the WA Police Tactical Response Group executed several search warrants in the Perth suburb of Nollamara on Saturday. During the search of a house on New Haven Way, police found handcuffs, a WA police badge, and WA police brimmed hats. Several items of jewellery were also recovered. Mr. Jamshidi Dukoshkin was arrested the following day during the execution of a search warrant in the nearby suburb of Osborne Park. WA police were tight-lipped when repeatedly asked by reporters if the offenders had been released from immigration detention, but did confirm they were known to police.
We did ask to speak, myself and Katie, and we're told that that wasn't possible, and that's fine. I respect the organisers' right to do that.
That's a full-out lie.
Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has been labelled a liar by the organisers of an anti-domestic violence rally that happened over the weekend in Canberra. Attending the No More rally, the PM claimed he and Finance Minister Katie Gallagher were told they could not speak at the event. But founder of What Were You Wearing non-profit organisation Sarah Williams responded to that claim on Instagram, saying that Albanese's office made it clear he was just walking in the rally and was not interested in speaking, and that the rally organisers never denied him from speaking at all. Williams went on to say that she was traumatised by the PM's actions on the day. Albo has tried to clean up the mess in media interviews today, but he's basically just dug himself a bigger hole, and the timing couldn't be worse as the nation is reeling from the deaths of at least 27 Australian women this year, allegedly at the hands of men in their lives. Albo is hoping he can regain control of the narrative through action and has convened National Cabinet for emergency talks on the domestic violence crisis. Albanese today confirmed state premiers had asked him to convene that emergency meeting as pressure mounts on all state governments to do more to tackle the issue. The PM said there needed to be a discussion around the role of the courts, saying it was no wonder that people were frustrated when a man allegedly killed their partner while on bail for domestic violence offences. He confirmed bail laws would be on the agenda at Wednesday's meeting.
One of Sydney's most infamous cold cases, model and escort Revelle Balmain vanished in 1994 and was never seen or heard from again.
A new inquest into one of Sydney's most enduring murder mysteries will hear fresh evidence about the last movements of missing woman Ravel Balmain and probe a debt she owed to the owners of the high-end escort agency she was working for. The model and dancer was 22 years old when she disappeared from Kingsford on Saturday, November 5 in 1994, after attending what she had planned to be one of her last jobs as an escort before moving to Japan. The new inquest into Ravel's disappearance commenced today in the New South Wales Coroner's Court, and it comes 3 years after New South Wales Police offered a $1 million reward for information about the disappearance of Ravel. An initial inquest in 1999 found she had been killed by a person or persons unknown, and the case was referred to the New South Wales Police Unsolved Homicide Unit. The investigation languished until 2020, when Detective Chief Inspector Stuart Bell picked it up after a formal review and was appointed lead investigator for Strike Force Aramac. Detective Bell told the inquest he had interviewed 135 witnesses, uncovered new DNA evidence, and followed 12 lines of inquiry as he sought to establish Miss Balmain's full movements on the night she vanished. In opening remarks at the five-day inquest this week, Deputy State Coroner Joan Bapty described Miss Balmain as a much-loved daughter and sister and friend to many, and she offered a moving message to her sister, Sue Ellen Simpson, who was in court. The Deputy State Coroner today warned that at times the evidence presented will be confronting and challenging, but that it would be necessary. You can follow the inquest this week by downloading the Nightly app or visiting thenightly.com.au.
With new bars, restaurants and entertainment, there's something new for every one of you at Crown.
The Blackstone-owned Crown Resorts will slash up to 1,000 jobs from its Sydney, Melbourne and Perth operations, citing reduced foreign tourism and a sharp decline in local workers. Chief Executive Kieran Carruthers made the announcement today, saying that it had been a difficult decision to cull the workforce, with the bulk of the jobs reportedly set to go from operations on the East Coast. Perth will be spared the worst of the losses because of the superior economy in WA. About 500 jobs are expected to be cut from Crown's corporate division, and the other 500 will be staff employed in respective casinos. The cuts come just weeks after Crown was granted full casino licences for Melbourne and Sydney after years of heavily supervised operations following revelations of money laundering across its businesses. Crown employs more than 20,000 people across its operations. The 1,000 job cuts add to the approximately 275 that were cut from Crown Sydney operations last year. Carruthers was brought in to run Crown from Macau in 2022 after the group was taken over by Blackstone for nearly $9 billion.
Keary with a kick, two posts there! They've got their second! Precision work by Luke Keary, and Tupo was unmarked.
It was a big weekend of sport, but today we're going to talk about people who are not going to be playing sport. We've got some high-profile retirements on the way, and joining me to talk about them is sports reporter Ben Robinson. Robbo, Luke Keary from the Roosters is pulling the pin.
Yeah, end of the season, that'll be it for Luke. He's he can't really achieve much more else in the game. He'd signed a contract for 2025. He has had some serious concussions over his career. But, yeah, it's a bit of a shock to his teammates this afternoon to hear him that he's going to be pulling the pin. But, yeah, he'll go down as one of the Roosters' greats.
Yeah, absolutely. Like 5'8", halfback for the Roosters, and has had a representative career as well. He must have played. How many games do you reckon he played in the end?
Oh, his best game was his Clive Churchill.
Yeah, that's
performance
right.
Performance in the 2018 grand final, yeah.
Yeah, a big loss to the Roosters. But I think one of the most interesting talking points in the NRL at the moment is this legal suit against the Bulldogs by Jackson Toppenay, and it's been covered in a column today, another excellent column for former rugby league player Spud Carroll in the Nightly. And it's kind of, Spud's taken the approach of, well, this is not the sort of thing that players in my day would have done. Can you take us through what Toppenay is doing?
Yeah, well, he's claimed that he was subject to wrestling 25 to 30 of his teammates during a training session.
Yeah, sort of a hazing kind of thing. Like, he got to training late. It's sort of a hazing kind of situation. That was his punishment. He had to wrestle them one after another. And what he claims that he was, like, mentally scarred by that, and then this book basically ended his career.
Yeah, he's pulled the pin. And, yeah, Spud Carroll writes a very interesting column. As you would expect from a hard man from the 90s, he wouldn't tolerate this in his day. But he writes an interesting column. He was a member of Bob Fulton, the Manly, legendary Manly coach. He was a member of his Fat Club. Okay, and he said there's no chance of a fat club being today in today's NRL.
You couldn't do it.
No, you could not do it. But yeah, he has a great line. He goes, "I reckon I'd have a decent claim against my old club Manly for all the torture, abuse, and punishment they put me through. The only problem is, I loved every minute of it."
It's exactly what I would expect Spud Carroll to say. There was some interesting talk on the footy show, the NRL footy show, about this as well. And a lot of the old greats, like Andrew Johns, were basically saying a similar thing to Spud Carroll. You know, it's kind of like a toughen up kind of thing. This is not the sort of thing you complain about if you want to be a rugby league player. But they made the point that if this lawsuit goes ahead and if he actually wins, if a judge decides that he was mistreated and it was bullying and harassment in the workplace, which I think is definitely possible, like what a precedent that would set for these types of activities that go on, as you know, like in pre-season in AFL and NRL all the time.
Well, you said it, Ben. Times have changed. This is a workplace. It's not not a semi-professional sport. This is an actual workplace. This sort of stuff just can't go on.
Yeah. I think it's going to be fascinating to watch. And now another retirement in the AFL as well.
Sloan kept going. Sloan off the left boot. Rory, that's an absolute terrific goal. Take a bow, my man.
Crows superstar Rory Sloan is riding off into the sunset to make sure that he has two eyes to look at that sunset.
Oh, yeah, Rory Sloan. He was the type of player that everyone wanted at their club. Universally admired, universally loved. Injuries sort of crueled the last part of his career, but he was a massive figure at Adelaide, former captain, basically led them. He was their best player leading into the 2017 grand final. He'll go down as one of the greats of that club.
Yeah, and worried about surgery on a detached retina, which is not something I really think about as a footy injury. And he wore protective glasses at one point at training this year, I guess to keep his eyeballs in his head, and realised that, you know, life after football is what he's got to prioritise, because he's getting on, right?
He's 34 years of age.
Yeah, so he's probably getting close to the end anyway. How is he going this year?
Well, 34 years of age, 255 games. Yeah. Hadn't played a game this year. Ironically, Crows are struggling and they are screaming out for a player like Rory Sloan, very hard at it footballer. They could do so well with him, but unfortunately he's had to pull the pin and it's not really a surprise.
No, not a surprise. They need the next generation of Rory Sloan. And talking about the next generation of golf was on show in Adelaide this weekend. The LIV Tour hit South Australia. Greg Norman was stoked about how it went down. What, nearly 100,000 people rocked up to watch it.
Unbelievable. He did a shoey. The shark did a shoey. Unbelievable.
Very different to what you think, right? The classic image of golf being this buttoned-down sport played by gentlemen. The LIV Tour is a little bit different.
Absolutely polarising. If you were there, you loved it. If you weren't there, you had mixed views about it. I think the traditionalists, as you mentioned, don't like it. But I watched the last half an hour of it. It was gripping TV yesterday on 7. It was absolutely gripping. There were plumes of vape smoke from the crowd surrounding the bunkers and the greens. There were 15 police. I've never seen police at a golf event. They were holding the crowd back. Now, I don't know, but I think the shark could afford to pay some security. He's paying these blokes millions of dollars, if not billions. And he can't afford his own security after buying our taxpayer-funded police.
Yeah, it's wild, wild scenes indeed. And just so many birdies. Like, it is a shootout, LIV Golf, and that's the way they want it. They don't want these hard courses where, you know, people are struggling to make par. They want everybody to be shooting 20 under. I don't know. Is it for you?
Yeah. Look, it's bringing a new type of fan to golf. I think there's a place for it, and I think it can sit alongside the PGA. It's probably not something every weekend.
No.
It's probably something once a month, once every 2 months. I definitely think it's got a place on the calendar. Look, the crowds don't lie. 94,000 people there over the weekend. Australia is the benchmark for the LIV Golf. The other LIV Golf events around the world are not like this. Okay, so the Australian golf fans are getting a sort of reputation internationally for being, let's just say, rowdier than the average golf club.
Yeah, happy Gilmore scenes indeed. And we're happy to have you here, Robbo from The Nightly. Thanks for joining us on The Nightly Five.
Thanks, Ben.
And that, folks, is today's show. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and join me tomorrow on The Nightly Five.
The Nightly Five podcast is brought to you by 7 West Media. For all these stories and more, head to thenightly.com.au, helping you get in front of tomorrow.